When a dramatic drop in orders for expensive items is actually something good for the economy in disguise.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Here's why we have to be careful with headlines. There is news that orders for expensive, long-lasting merchandise fell more than 18% in August, the most precipitous drop on record for durable goods. But all is not as it seems. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago, gives us a briefing on Thursdays as the stock market opens. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
It says here that orders for durable goods fell by the most since late in the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush. This sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible, but the news is actually much better than that. We saw a big surge in orders of aircraft from Boeing in the month of July, and those orders came off in August. But the underlying trend in business investment is actually much more positive. We saw, again, edged out gains in August after really robust and upward revised gains in the month of July and June. And the trend in business investment is actually finally starting to improve a bit after being sort of lackluster much of this recovery.
Now, this flows nicely with some other reporting we've been doing this morning about Consumer Reports magazine has data showing the consumer is back after six long years of the Great Recession, and apparently we're more inclined to make the big purchases.
Well, that's really important, and we are seeing it particularly in things like vehicles. Vehicle sales surged in the month of August, and why is it that vehicles are doing so well relative to other kinds of big-ticket items? Well, you can finance it. It's one of the places that credit is still easily available. In fact, along with the surge in vehicles, we're seeing a record, not record sales, but a record level of loans. And we're starting to see some signs that maybe this recovery is finally gaining some traction.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
There's new data showing the percentage of Latinos who don't have health insurance in America has fallen by more than a third since the health care reform law kicked in. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has more.
When it comes to health insurance, Latinos have been one of the least covered groups. One big reason, says Michelle Doty with the Commonwealth Fund, a health care policy group.
Jobs that don't provide health insurance, so low wage and small firms.
But in states that have expanded Medicaid eligibility under the Affordable Care Act, the uninsured rate for Latinos has dropped from 35 to 17% in less than a year. That means fewer emergency room visits and more preventive care, says Alfonso Vega of AltaMed. It's a network of community health clinics in Southern California that serves many low-income Latinos.
There's countless patients that we're seeing that are seeing a primary care doctor every 90 days like they're supposed to, getting all of the tests that they're supposed to have done on a periodic basis.
In the states that have not expanded Medicaid coverage under Obamacare, where more than 20 million Latinos live, their uninsurance rates remain basically unchanged. I'm Chrissy Clark from Marketplace.
We think we live in the future. Apple's new Dick Tracy watch might be evidence of that. But there is an argument that in at least one regard, the United States is currently like Europe in the 19th century. Here to explain is Marketplace's economics guy, Chris Farrell. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Welcome to Europe in the 1800s. How?
Well, Sheldon Guerin. He's a professor at Princeton University. And, you know, he says that the U.S. today looks like 19th century Europe with large numbers of people without access to your mainstream banking services. There's been ongoing conversation and concern about the unbanked, the marginally banked. And depending on what numbers you're looking at, it's somewhere around a quarter to a third of U.S. adults.
Now, there are going to be a lot of reasons for not being banked, but a big one is you don't have a modest lump sum to put into the bank, and therefore, once you have enough in the bank, you could avoid the fees. People avoid the bank because they don't have enough to put in initially.
But it's also difficult to find a bank. If you look at bank branch closures, they're mostly in lower income neighborhoods. And what did Europe do in the 19th century? They developed these postal banking systems. They reached into the lower income neighborhoods, and the savings rate in Europe, even to this day, is very high. So there are postal branches everywhere, and there are low-income neighborhoods. And if you look at the surveys, it's actually a trusted institution. Let's offer really low-cost, low-fee, basic banking services in these low-income neighborhoods that would encourage people to save, that would encourage people to come in.
And just now in India, there's a huge campaign to get banks to the unbanked, including a system where if you sign up, you get to open an account even if you have not a single rupee to put on deposit just yet.
And this is what we need to do. And then as people become more comfortable and they have more savings, you know, they might want to shift to the mainstream banking system or the mainstream credit union system. That's fine. But let's really address this problem of savings in the U.S. in these underserved, underbanked neighborhoods.
Chris Farrell keeps an eye on economics for us at Marketplace. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And British Prime Minister David Cameron was overheard in New York yesterday telling former Mayor Bloomberg that he had never heard anyone so happy as the Queen after Scots voted no on independence. Cameron said the Queen was, quote, purring. Asked later if he regretted this and if he'd apologize, Cameron replied, yes and yes. The Queen is supposed to be seen as neutral in all political matters. The plans are for Cameron to apologize to the Queen in person. In New York, I'm David Roncaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.